do believe all of us are present. Are there any organizational discussion or special reports that we need to discuss? Any old business? We're just going to move right along, aren't we? Our new business is the Deliver Hope ARP application. I will entertain a motion for discussion.
Make a motion. Open it up for discussion.
Second.
Okay. I believe this is Justice Boyer was going to describe this and give us a little bit more information about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can everybody hear? Okay. Deliver Hope is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. They have submitted the required request application for funds from the American Rescue Plan, or the ARP, to Tom Anderson, who is our ARP administrator. It has met the requirements. The application has met the requirements as presented. And there are 7 representatives here tonight from Deliver Hope. And I applaud all of you for coming. It's commendable that you take your time to do this. We're going to have at least 2 speakers, the executive director, Micah Ribbing, I'll say this correct, forgive me, and 20th Circuit Judge Troy Braswell is going to address the group tonight also. So at this point, I would entertain speakers coming forth. Micah, do you want to be first? Ms. Ribbing, I'm sorry.
That'd be great.
Okay. Please, they're going to give all kinds of information, and if you have a question, there are 7 of them are here to answer the question. Thank you, Micah.
My name is Micah Ribbing. I am the Executive Director of Deliver Hope, and we have several of our board members here, as you guys previously mentioned. So I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about Deliver Hope and what we're doing and kind of why we're requesting these funds. I am sure most of you are aware that emotional and relational chaos is literally plaguing the lives of at-risk kids in our community. And Deliver Hope exists to empower those young people to dream beyond their circumstances and excel despite those disadvantages that they've been given. We began in 2013 mentoring in the Juvenile Detention Center right here in Faulkner County. And while serving those young people in jail, we realized that they were craving outside connections once released back into reality and going home. And so we found ways to connect with them on the outside once they were released. In 2015, we were blessed to become an official community partner with the juvenile court system, which allows us to not only serve these young people that come to us from community organizations, such as schools and other nonprofits, but also we're able to facilitate programs for the court and mentor kids that are on probation. We do this through a variety of programs and services, with our main focus being youth mentoring. So pre-COVID, we worked alongside Judge Braswell's court and other community partners to reduce juvenile recidivism. In between 2015 and 2019, there was a 57% reduction in the confinement of juveniles in the local jail. During the COVID-19 crisis, teenagers were, just like everyone else, quarantined inside their homes. And many of these teenagers' homes are filled with drugs, abuse, poverty, and brokenness, and the only positive role models and activities were taken from them. Research shows that during that confinement of 2020, not only did this reduce the safety of these children, it also limited contact of others that may be able to identify those signs of abuse. Therefore, it caused already at-risk teenagers to suffer in silence. I don't have any local stats on this, but it is our opinion that this trauma caused the amount of juveniles in jail to rise drastically versus pre-COVID. So Deliver Hope is working diligently to offer healthy and encouraging alternatives to being stuck inside their homes and or running the streets. And with the ARP funds, we would be able to intentionally connect with even more at-risk youth in Faulkner County by hiring more staff to pursue them daily and facilitate more opportunities for them to thrive. Our goal is for every teenager in Faulkner County that was lost in the chaos and brokenness during the pandemic to know that the circumstances created by COVID-19 do not determine their future, and that they matter, and that they have a purpose, and that they are not alone. So, I would like to ask Judge Bradwell if you would like to come speak.
Thank you very much. Justices, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come up and speak in support of Deliver Hope. Again, my name is Troy Braswell. I have the honor of being one of our five circuit court judges and have a bigger honor of being our juvenile court judge. Several of you have heard kind of my presentations before about what we've been doing in juvenile court, but just as kind of a refresher, in 2015, when I came into the juvenile court spot, nobody else wanted to do it. We sit around as judges when new judges are elected, and we have a conversation about how dockets are going to be distributed and divided up. And it really stood out to me that we didn't have anybody that wanted to do it. And I will admit, I was not raising my hand at that first meeting. That's not what I ran for. But something really convicted me about the opportunity to help kids. And I really felt like if we don't have somebody that wants to be in this position, what's the end result going to be? And as a former prosecutor, and just paying attention to what we see on the adult side of things, I mean, how often do we talk about prison overcrowding, we need to build more prisons? Those things are certainly true in certain circumstances. But if we don't start addressing the needs on the front end, we're going to pay for it triple on the back end. And one of the first things that we did was helped adopt and became a pilot court in the state of Arkansas for a validated risk and needs assessment tool. And so we worked very closely with the creator of that tool. And basically what that does is every kid that comes through our court sits down and goes through a pretty lengthy interview. It's a lot of work for my staff to have to do. It's about 2 to 3 hours. When they first started doing it, it takes about 4 to 6 hours to complete this assessment. What we're doing is we're looking for what their background is. What have they seen in the home? What does their home look like? What has their contact been with the court system previously? Have they been subject to abuse? Have they been victims of physical or sexual abuse? How do they feel when they get away with something? If somebody gets into a fight, do they have it coming? These are all questions that when you hear different answers, you can start really getting into what's behind a kid. And what kind of support do they have? And honestly, what kind of support do they not have? And that's been the biggest gap is the support at home. And so through that, we're able to identify, they also complete a mental health assessment and a substance abuse assessment. And through that, we're able to identify what's considered to be a low, moderate, or high risk of violence or reoffending. And so while certainly the offense that they committed matters, right, what you did matters, but to me, the biggest question is why? Why are we here? Why is it that you felt it necessary to fight or steal or rob or whatever it may be? And that really helps us figure out what can we do to help kids. Really up until that point, really across the state, juvenile justice was a cookie cutter approach. There was a piece of paper when I came in as judge and it had all the most common offenses written down, and next to it was the outcome of the case. It was predetermined what each kid was going to get, regardless of what situation they were in, what support they had, and what ability they had to overcome. And so it was really helpful for us to know, look, if we really, some of these kids, if we leave them alone, they're never going to come back, right? Like, I never obviously did anything to ever get in trouble, but if I had, that's a joke, by the way, my parents did not need a probation officer. Right? My dad had a pretty good leather belt, and my mom had a brush. It's bringing back some bad memories right now. That's right. I deserve it, Justice Wright. But the point is that not every kid is the same. Not every kid's needs are the same, and certainly not every kid's risk is the same. And so it's important for us to be able to determine that we can't just treat every kid that steals from the gas station the same way. We've got to meet a kid where they are. That was huge for us. That was a big deal. Well, here's the problem. It's one thing to identify their areas of risk. It's one thing to identify their need. It's another thing to provide services and support for those kids. That's really where the money's made. That's where we make a difference. What can we do to help each kid? I'm proud to tell you that we're one of the leading courts in the state for what we do and how we perform our services to our youth. And that's not a me thing. That's a we thing. That is this community. And I've been just it's very humbling to know that in Faulkner County, people step up time and time again. I've been in front of the full court for years talking about the things that we're doing and needing the support of this court. And every single time, this court has stepped up and said, we acknowledge it, we understand it, and we want to support it. And so we wouldn't be here and we've reduced the number of kids coming through court on delinquency. So, when you're a juvenile and you're charged with a crime, it's called a juvenile delinquent. Just to shock you're familiar with that term. And so that matters. So it's not about being soft with kids. It's not saying, oh, it's not a big deal. It's about being smart. And it's about making sure that they have somewhere to go and people to be around and people that's going to put their arm around them and say, you know what? You screwed up. And I've done the same thing. And here's what I did that helped me. And that's when our partnership with Deliver Hope started. And we looked out in the community and said, we cannot do it alone. We've got to have people that are willing to step up and be with us shoulder to shoulder, the tip of the spear, doing this. And I cannot tell you the importance of Deliver Hope to what we do in juvenile court. I can say affirmatively that without Deliver Hope, we would not have near the success that we have in handling the kids that come through this court, period. There are courts across the state that would give up anything to have the type of support and the love and care that these people show to the kids in this community. There is not another team or group in the state that performs like they do. And we have it right here in Conway. Because Daniel Tyler started it, and because these wonderful board members and Ms. Ribbing continue that cause because they know it's a need. And so the last thing I want to say is this. COVID was, I don't even know if we're still in COVID or not, what you're supposed to say or not, but I know this. When we took kids out of school, we set ourselves back years and years. And so what we did effectively is we put a bunch of kids in their room all day and all night with a device and said, leave me alone. Don't bother me. And we had parents that had to go to work or had to do whatever they had to do, and they gave them a device, and it's been a vicious cycle since. Our truancy numbers are through the roof across the state. Truancy used to be the easiest part of my job. I will tell you that a rape case that comes through that's awful, those are difficult to deal with. Trying to convince a family that their 12-year-old needs to go to school is much harder. That is honestly the real epidemic that's come from this. It's just this really deep dive into depression and anxiety, especially amongst young girls. It's been really devastating to see the impact that this has had. I know that it's had an impact on Deliver Hope. I know that they, during that time, have had to shrink back some of the services and programs that they were able to have, but they still did it. I mean, try having a mentor session on Zoom, right? I mean, you can barely do court on Zoom, right? Much less a mentor-mentee relationship. But they were there, and they didn't go away. And so the great thing is that we have that community partner that's willing to work. And the last thing I'll say about Deliver Hope is this. If I pick up the phone and call and say, I need you on this, they don't ask why. They show up. And that's not for me. That's for the kids in this community, and that's for this community at large. The last thing they did this past week, the Arkansas Juvenile Probation Officers Association meets a couple times a year. And they had a meeting a couple weeks ago, and they had a student panel of kids that are involved in the court system. We had three kids from our judicial district that went up and were brave, talked about what they had been through, talked about the impact that juvenile court has had on them, some good, some bad. The only way they were able to get up there, Deliver Hope. They took them up there, right? That's not in their job description. They didn't have to do that, but they have the means to do it. They understand the impact it can have on those kids. And the funny thing is, and they didn't know this was going to happen, nobody did. They asked each kid, name one person that's had the biggest impact on your life and turning your life around. And one of those young people specifically mentioned a member of Deliver Hope. That's better than any statistic you can give. That's real lives that are being changed. And so I can tell you, sitting in front of you, that they're in the trenches, and they're fighting a good fight. And I certainly would appreciate your strong consideration for their application. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge. Do you have any other board members that would like to say anything, Ms. Vivian? Okay. Well, at this time, I would like to open discussion up with the committee, if that's permissible, Madam.
I myself have several questions. Does anybody else have any questions that they want to start with?
You can lay it off and I'll ask.
First of all, is I kind of want to see the journey, if that makes sense. Like, how do you contact these kids? How do you reach these kids? And then what? So, can you give me an example of a journey that a child would, or a young adult would start through?
Sure. Well, there are. If we get a referral from the court, is that what you want to hear about?
If it starts there, then
sure.
Then
most of the time, it does start there. We do have referrals that we receive from other community organizations, but most of the time, the referral comes from the court. And so the first thing that we do is we connect with the child and the parent, and we go to their home. We feel that it's really important to know, why maybe these things are happening or what other services maybe their family needs. You know, maybe Sally's not going to school because she doesn't have running water at home and nobody knows that. And so we're able to kind of help not just the child but also the family and connect them and work with other organizations to make sure that all their needs are met. And so that is where it starts. And then typically most of the kids that we serve come through youth mentoring. We do offer other services that we provide and facilitate for the court, but most of the kids are also doing youth mentoring. And so we go to their home, we visit with them, and go through that process, and then we get them set up on to come and to all of the programs that they are going to be coming to. And so we have group mentoring, and we also have one-on-one mentoring. And so typically we bring most of the kids into group mentoring first. And so we have a curriculum that we run through, and that's on Thursday nights. And all our staff is there. We also bring in volunteers from the community to come to group mentoring. And so they do everything from tutoring. They play basketball. They break into small groups. And we work that way to find them a one-on-one mentor. And so that is what that typically looks like.
My second question is, do you have a percentage of how many of the juveniles reoffend after going through your program? How many went through, and then what percentage of those reoffended or did not reoffend?
Justice Moss, that's a great question. And so one of the things with juvenile records is that those are pretty confidential. And so Deliver Hope does not have direct access to our statistical information. But I can tell you that since we've partnered with Deliver Hope, one of the first analysis was that recidivism has dropped about 33%. That was presented on a national podcast by the creator of the risk assessment tool that we use. So we also, as I mentioned previously, since the time of our partnership, we've seen 54% fewer kids coming through court on delinquency. And so we've also increased our diversion programs to keep kids out of court. And so it's one thing to say, oh, you're not doing anything to kids, right? You're just, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's another thing to say, wait a minute, let's make sure that we're bringing the right kids in. And so not only have delinquency filings gone down, I believe the last check at the end of last year, our probation revocations were down 52%. And so that means even the kids that are getting on probation, that number has dropped by 52%. So even the kids that get put on probation, they're successfully completing it. And that's a big deal, right? Because, okay, I've had interaction with the criminal justice system. Now I'm going to get the services, and I'm going to finish and not get in any trouble.
So at what point do they, not age out, but what point do they end their journey through your program?
No, that's a great question. I think aging out is an appropriate term. Generally, what the law says is that I lose jurisdiction once a kid turns 21. The reality is that we're not keeping kids that committed a crime at 16 in the court until they're 21. The longest term of probation that they can get is 2 years. That would be for a more serious offense. But an overwhelming majority of, I wouldn't say all, but for certain referrals to Deliver Hope, that primary range is going to be, I would say, 14 to 17.
And I will say, too, when you hear the term you're aging out, with us as Deliver Hope as an organization, we work really hard to continue working with them. Technically, we serve kids ages 13 to 17. We have lots of kids that we still are spending time with and helping and serving that are 18, 19, even 20. You know, they're not forgotten. We had a grandma call us yesterday or the day before and say, hey, can my kid come back? Because you're the only place that I could get her to go without him, which was really cool.
And how exactly would you use the funds?
So we would like to use the funds, too. We're in the people business. We serve people with people. And so the more staff we have, the more we're able to provide for students. You know, the truth is that our budget is high on salaries and low on costs. And part of that is because we're extremely fortunate because we are able to utilize actually a county building right across the street. So we're able to keep that cost down. And so the majority of the funds would be used to add on hours and to bring in more staff to run these programs. We also would use them to host, pre-COVID, we hosted several mentor events where we bring in mentors from the community, which are volunteers and kids and police officers and juvenile court, and we just celebrate with these kids. And so some of the funds would be used for that, to have quarterly, what we call mentor moments. And then we also provided before COVID, from that pre-COVID, post-COVID, we have had a really incredible basketball program called Launch, and that was where we served over 50 high-risk males where they would come and just to get them off the streets. And so we are working hard to get that started again. Cost money.
Just most of it, this isn't necessarily a direct response to your question, but I've started getting copies of transcripts from interactions with kids that I feel like are really impactful to me. And so back in November, I had a young lady that had been really struggling, running away from home quite a bit, spending time with much older men more often than she should. And I asked her, and I'm reading, this is exactly what was said in court. I said, how are things going with Deliver Hope? And the juvenile responded, great, I love it there. And I said, that's the most I've ever see you smile in court. She said, thank you. I said, what do you love about it? And she said, I love talking to everybody. I said, well, you should smile more often. You have a pretty smile. Thank you. You're welcome. And she said, I love explaining myself there. It's more like there's more talking. I like talking with them because it gives me a chance to open up a little bit more. And I said, why is that helpful to you? And she said, because in counseling, it's like, sometimes I feel like they just be trying to, like, put stuff on me. But being in Deliver Hope, it's like the women there are mostly young. And so it's like they mostly understand you instead of, like, the people at counseling who, in my opinion, they just do too much. I said, well, I'm excited that you have something like Deliver Hope that can work with you and be there to support you. And she said, yes, sir. And I said, is there anything else that you want to talk about? And she said, thank you for giving me another opportunity. That's what they do.
Any other questions?
How long do you think this money will last? Just curious.
We expect it. We've drawn out our budget for 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have plans to replace this money so that you can continue those services?
Absolutely.
At that level?
Absolutely.
Where's your primary revenue source from that funds you?
Right now?
Yes, ma'am.
The community. So the majority of our donations come from individual community members. We have a few small family foundation grants that we get. And then also we host a variety of events throughout the year so that businesses can contribute.
How's your budget, or your donations, your budget, have they grown since COVID? Was your budget higher before COVID?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our budget was higher. So our the majority of our constituency is probably your 25 to 40 middle class. Obviously, inflation has, we feel, had an impact on that.
I want to make one more comment. First, I want to thank you for what you do. Well, thank you, Judge Braswell, for your comments and what you do for the kids. And I've said this many times in private to many people, but I appreciate Judge Braswell's comments and your comments as well. I'm a teacher in schools, and I was telling people today that on March 13th of 2020, 3 years ago, I stood in front of my class when they asked me, are they going to send us home? And I told them how stupid it would be for us to send them home. And they were shut down for that rest of that school year. They were sent home to do just exactly like you said, Judge Braswell. These kids are mentally impaired because of what we did to those kids. And it pisses me off that people my age were so afraid to die that we let those kids stop living. We made those kids stop living. And we're suffering the consequences of our reaction because of our fear that put those kids in danger. I appreciate what y'all are doing. I'll be voting for this.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, may I say something?
Absolutely.
I hope it's not out of the ordinary here. I became familiar with Deliver Hope about 9.5 years ago. I think it was Judge Braswell that set me on to, if I'm not mistaken. And I met Daniel. This is before I became a member of the Quorum Court also. Just a little bit before, what Ms. Ribbing said about the community helping volunteers with time and with finances was the source of income at that time. It was the source of income. I can attest, they have the house across the street when the juvenile comes out of the detention center. They see the sign up there. Deliver Hope. Many of them ignore that sign, but there's some that see that sign and some go see what that sign represents and they come back. I'm full support of this. Thank you.
Anything else? Any justices?
I would like to just verify with Mr. Anderson. Have you checked this out, and I'm assuming that you think it's all on the up and up?
Yes, sir, I have, and I do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Anything else?
I would move we send this to the Budget and Finance Committee.
Second.
Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we will forward this on to Budget and Finance. Next one.
Thank you,
Mr. Thank you, guys. And with that being done, are there any announcements? I want to speak to the Sheriff's Department just very quickly. I did my ride-along a couple of nights ago, and 10 minutes in, at Wooster Full Break Stop, I got a show. So I highly recommend it. If any justices want to do that, absolutely reach out to me. It was eye-opening for me. A random Tuesday night that, you know, sitting at home doing my dishes and playing on my phone, and these men and women are putting their life on the line to keep us safe. And so I appreciate them very much, but it was a very eye-opening experience, and I do plan on doing it again, for sure. So thank you for that.